Okay, I want to share some things today which will be important for us. Jeremy mentioned the prophetic timetable. That timetable we've looked at over quite a number of weeks, probably 15 weeks I've been teaching on it, but a lot of you weren't there at that point in time. So I want to, again, just briefly just give you this revelation, because this will set the tone for where we're going as a church over the next number of years until Jesus returns, because that's where it leads up to. At the bottom, each of those blocks or segments are periods of time in which God is doing a specific thing with the church, not just our church, the church generally. The first one is a call to intimacy. That call to intimacy has been going on since 1993, and it's going to continue until Jesus returns. But it's the biggest challenge that the church faces, because there is fear of intimacy. Actually, there's fear of intimacy here, because you love praising God, but whenever it starts to get intimate, people start disappearing from the front and start going to sit down, because your heart is frightened of intimacy. Intimacy is actually being intimate with God to such a degree that you become one. And in that place, there's nothing that he can't see about you. That's why you're afraid of it, a lot of people. Because you're afraid of God being that close to you to see everything that's in your heart. But he sees anyway. So there's no need to be afraid. But the enemy uses fear to stop us coming into intimacy. And it's a really, really important issue for the church, and it's an issue for us. God will continue calling people in intimacy until Jesus returns, because he wants us to know who we are as his sons, to know who he is as our father, for us to know our identity as royalty, as kings and priests to God, and to know who we are as a habitation of God's presence, that God lives in us. And that has major implications. But if we come to that place of intimacy with God, he doesn't allow us to stay the same. He loves us too much to allow us to stay as we are. He wants to transform us to become like him, become like his son, which was our destiny before the foundation of the world, was to be conformed to the image of Jesus. It says that in Romans chapter 8. So he won't leave us in the state that we're in right now. We're to be transformed from one degree of glory. Glory is the manifest presence of God's presence in our lives and through our lives, to another. To do that, he has to remove things from us, stumbling blocks. And so there is a period of time in which, as a church, we are engaging with right now. Some of you are still being called into intimacy. Some of you have engaged in that, and actually you're now in a place where God is starting to gather and remove stumbling blocks, things from our lives in which there are hindrances to us being like Jesus and fulfilling the destiny and the call of God on our lives. Because from that, God wants to raise up a generation of people who will usher in Jesus' return. Well, that's not going to happen without an awful lot of conflict and an awful lot of battle. Because we were called into a cosmic battle that began before we were even created as a people. Before the foundation of the world, Satan fell. He's been opposing God's will ever since. So these periods are periods of time. There is judgment going to come to the household of God, in which he will separate that which is of him and that which isn't of him. There is a harvest of laborers that are coming. 1 billion people are being prophesied to come in to that harvest of laborers. And they are just the people who will lead other people to that final harvest that's coming. They will be equipped. Right, Sam, will you please leave? No, 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 no messing. Leave now.
My name's Samuel, yeah?
Well, okay, Samuel. Samuel, will you please leave? Because you're because you're not actually helping. Okay. There is going to be raised up that billion fold. That means 20% of the world's population. 20% of the world's population actually coming in as a harvest of laborers. I'll discuss what's going on here later on, because it's in part of what I want to say in terms of how authority gets challenged in what God does. Well, there is going to be a shaking of the world systems that come, which will shake things, everything that man puts his trust in, because Satan offered man an opportunity to become ruler of this world without God. It's called humanism. We can do things apart from God. Okay? God is going to shake those things. So if our trust is in finances, the financial system will be shaken. What is going on now is just a little ripple in the financial system compared to what's coming. The medical system will be challenged. There are things that are coming medically that the medical people will have no answer to. In that time, when all these things got to get challenged, God will raise up the church. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the other mountains, above all the other authority structures, so that we start to demonstrate who we are as literal sons of God on the earth. That was always God's intention. And then we're going to see a final harvest to come. And in that final harvest, we're going to see God move, and we're going to see Satan move, and there's going to be a mighty conflict in which, guess what? We win. That's good news. We win. You read the end of the book, we win. God wins. The enemy doesn't win. Now, being a habitation of God, God is inviting us, Revelation 3:20, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, because Jesus is standing at the door on the inside of our spirit, asking to be let in. He no longer is happy with a relationship which is distant. He's in heaven and I'm on earth. Actually, no, he's in me, and he's in wanting me to invite him to be Lord of my life. And as he does that, as I open the door on a daily basis, because it's a daily choice, basically, it says that he will come and we will fellowship, we will dine, we will eat together, we will have relationship. And as a result of that relationship, then we go further into that. Let me get this to work. Revelation 4:1. These things I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. As a result of me opening the door in my spirit to God's presence, he opens the door so I can live in the heavenly realms with him and engage with him in those things. And he's basically saying, come up here. It's an invitation. It's an invitation not to be missed. Because if you don't live in that place, because that's what Jesus did, he lived in dual realms of heaven and earth, then we will not be able to exercise the authority and dominion that God wants us to have. Now, right now, this place where we're at, of coming into that place where we surrender to God, brings us to a place of a furnace, which is a place of intimacy where God is able to refine us. Malachi 3:1, we talked about this before. God coming as a refiner's fire, as a smelter and a purifier of silver and of gold. Because he wants to purify our lives and refine us. Not necessarily an easy process, but I tell you, if you surrender to this process, it's easier than God having to bring this process upon you. Because he wants to transform us, regardless of whether we're willing or not. He wants that. It says, we can fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock can fall on us and we can be crushed. The result is the same. Actually, the process is a lot different. When we surrender to God, he comes and he deals with the things in our lives. We don't surrender to him, he puts us through circumstances which we'll deal with anyway. And we all know that, if you're honest. So let's surrender and allow God to do what he wants to do. Okay. Isaiah 2:2, this is what is going to happen. The mountain of the house of the Lord, God's people, the church, is going to be raised up in the last days and established as chief. And all the other nations and all the other things are going to stream to God's people, because we're going to have the answers. Matthew 6:10, Jesus told his disciples to pray this way: Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a key thing we need to get hold of, because we need to see what it is in heaven to bring it on earth through our life. So if you don't know what it is in heaven, how are you going to bring heaven to earth? But you can say, well, Jesus did it, so I can copy him. Okay, but you're not Jesus. And the things that God's got you to do, although you will be able to do the things that Jesus did, is for you. As an individual and a unique person, you have a destiny. There's a heavenly destiny that needs to be outworked on earth, so we need to know what it is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:49, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. We will bear the image of what's in the heavenly. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. That was God's intention, always, to have dominion. That means to rule, in authority and in power. And I want to encourage you, this applies to every single one of you here. It's your destiny to rule. And there are spheres of authority that God has got for you as an individual person to rule in. This was God's intention right from the beginning. Adam messed it up. Jesus came and restored it for us so we can continue doing it. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a royal priesthood. Understand what a priest is who is able to come into the very holy places of God. If you're royal, it means you have kingship or authority. It says that in Revelation 1:6 again, he made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. That's what Jesus has done for us. Okay. Now Matthew 11:12 says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. This doesn't happen easily. You don't just rule without a battle. You don't have dominion or subdue things unless there's something to be subdued. And we've all got a whole load of things in our life which need subduing and dealing with. So we have to be those who actually are militant about this. You can't sit back and be passive and expect rulership, or expect you to come into your identity or to come into your destiny. It happens when we grab hold of it and pursue it. Paul says, I take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. And God wants us to pursue it. Literally what that means is it suffers under forceful ones, and forceful ones occupied by force. Because there are things in the heavenly realms where this is at work that want to stop us ruling. Therefore we have to deal with them. Now, about 3 years ago, God gave me 4 words in which I didn't understand what they meant and what the context was. Now I do. First one was investiture. God wants to invest us with authority. That's what investor is. You're clothed with clothes which invest you with authority. But that's not the end of it. You can be invested with authority, but you have to come into that authority. It's like Prince Charles was invested with authority in Carnarvon Castle. Remember it as a kid? Remember him being invested, saw all the ritual that went around it and all the stuff he was given and stuff. But he's not yet succeeded. Why? Because the Queen hasn't died. So we will not succeed until some things die. Some of those things may be in our lives, but actually some of them are actually in the heavenly realm. And we have to see those things defeated so that we come into that succession. But succession isn't enough. What happens after succession? What happens when the old king or queen dies? Basically, there comes an enthronement, a coronation. The enthronement takes place actually before the coronation in reality. Coronation is the public display of it, but actually it already takes place before that. So there is an enthronement where we're called to occupy thrones. Now what are thrones? Places where you rule from. And all of us have those places. And ultimately God will display that rulership on the earth as sons of God. The kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, heavenly authority is higher than earthly authority. That's why we need to rule in the heavens. It supersedes all the laws that operate here. The laws of the spiritual kingdom have precedence and are higher than the natural kingdom. Now, looking at the heavenly realms, and this is, we've looked at this briefly before, the Greek way of thinking is, okay, there is a first heavenly realm. That's here, and all the atmosphere and the universe around us. Our earthly realm is seen as the first heaven. Then there's a third heaven. The Bible talks about Paul going to the third heaven. God's realm, where God is. Okay. And then in the middle of that, well, there must be a second heaven because, well, Greeks think linear. So if there is a third heaven, there must be a second and a first. But what would make sense? The reality is that second heaven, first heaven, third heaven idea is a Greek way of thinking about it, and it's not actually how it is. But the way the Greeks have thought, the enemy uses that to say, well, if we're in the first heaven and there's a third heaven that where God is, and there's something in between, we have to go through the second one to get to the third one. And the second one is the atmosphere of the earth, which is full of darkness. We can't get there. So that whole mentality stops us thinking that we can access the heavenly realm. That's what it does. It says, well, you can't get to the third one unless you go through the second one. You can't go through the second one because it's dark. Now, some people have tried to do it, and they usually go into the second one and get beaten up because they don't know what they're doing. But the reality is we can go straight from the first to the second, if you think of it in those terms. This realm is different, but this is how it works. The kingdom is at hand. This is the Hebrew way of thinking. This is God's way of thinking. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said. Literally, it is as close as the hand to my face. It is as close to me as the air I breathe. Because it's a dimension which is around me all the time and around all of us. Because this earthly realm lives connected to a spiritual realm, which is where God created it from. And we are only held into being, it says, because of the word of God and of Jesus' voice connecting it. So we have a kingdom which is right here. And we can turn into that kingdom wherever we want. So here's man. There's a kingdom of light. And there's also a kingdom in darkness. Okay? Right around us all the time. Not separate, not a long way away, but around us as an atmosphere or a dimension of time and of space around us. I'm not going to go into string theory and explain it to you, but I could. Man can turn into that kingdom. So we can turn into the kingdom of light as simple as turning and looking there. We have access. Or we can turn into the kingdom that's in darkness. Depending on where you look, you will draw your source from. Your spirit has access to the kingdom which is in light. And God wants you to access that kingdom and draw your resources and your authority and your power to overcome every day from that source. If you don't, you're going to turn into the other kingdom. Because your soul, your flesh, will look to its own way to meet its own needs, and therefore will look to get its resources from the kingdom which is in darkness. Guess which is the good one and the bad one? Every time you try and do something in your flesh, in your own strength, according to your soul power, it does not work, and it says in the Bible it profits nothing. And you have to get that. You have to get over the fact that you cannot do it in your own strength. None of us can. So we can turn into the kingdom which is in light and engage that, or you can turn into darkness. It's your choice, because God has given us a choice. Every single one of us has got free will, and you can turn and choose. Just like you guys who are doing the program, you can choose to engage in it or not. All of us can choose to engage or not engage on a daily basis with God or not, or just live in our own strength and by our own power. If we do, we end up failing. God wants us to succeed. That's why he called Adam and Eve to prosper, to succeed to the highest level. And he gave them what they needed so that they could be fruitful and multiply and overcome. Now, Zechariah 3 is a really important chapter in understanding this. And this is saying there, verse 1, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel, and Satan was standing at his right hand to accuse him. So where do you think that was? On earth or in the heavens? In the heavens. Now get this. This was Joshua and Aaron. There was a high priest. So he had, just like us, a priest who had access to the presence of God. And he was standing in the presence of an angel, and Satan was there to accuse him. So this is a court setting where accusation takes places. You get accused in a court of being guilty of something. And you're either found guilty or innocent. Now, look what happened. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." So, who dealt with Satan? Us or God? God. Okay. So if we've got accusations against us, who has to deal with them? Us or God? God. Okay. Now it says this. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. Think about that. This is in heaven. In the realms of heaven. Joshua is standing as a high priest, like we are priests, and he's got filthy garments on. How did he get there, do you think, with filthy garments? Surely you can't come into the presence of God with filthy garments. Well, that's exactly what you do. Because what happens when you come with filthy garments, God spoke and said to those who were standing before him, so all the angels and the other things who were in that court, remove the filthy garments from him. Again, he said to him, "See, I've taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes." So who does the cleansing and cleaning up? Us or God? God. So we don't have to try and make ourselves clean in our own strength, with our own effort and initiative, to come into the presence of God and to enter the heavenly realms. In fact, that's exactly what Adam tried to do when he messed up and sinned. He hid in the bushes and tried to cover himself with a covering of leaves, which was just symbolic of trying to cover up himself. Doesn't work, and actually you don't need to do it. So there's no need to feel guilty or condemned when we mess up and run and hide from God, because guess what? He knows anyway. So what's the point of trying to hide from him? And what's even less of a point of trying to cover it up and make amends for it in our own strength? We just have to come into the presence of God, and he gives us a new robe. He takes all the filthy garments off us, and all this stuff takes place where? Heaven. So this is why it's so important that we're able to access the heavenly realms. Because we get clean every time we go in there. And when we're clean, guess what? We can kick some butt. If you're guilty and condemned, you won't. You'll be under what has happened and under the enemy's condemnation and guilt. So when we mess up, and we all do, we can step into the place of God's presence, and he will cleanse us and he will give us new robes. And the accusations of Satan against us, he deals with, because he rebukes him. Why can he rebuke him? Because the blood of Jesus is constantly before him as a testimony of what Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he took every single sin that any one of us ever committed, every thought, every action, every omission, everything, every single one of them, and he punished Jesus in our place so that we do not have to suffer punishment. Really good deal. So when we go and take the bread and the wine, we're going and we're actually taking and partaking of the life of God and his very essence and DNA. We're coming and taking for the fact that Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. It's a really good deal. How many of you suffer from guilt and condemnation? It's like, I know people do, because I have to deal with them a lot of time. The reality is, the enemy's biggest tactic is to get us thinking that we cannot come to God because we've sinned, when actually it's the very thing we need to do, as quick as we possibly can, to access God's forgiveness and his cleansing. If you confess your sins, he is what? Faithful. Faithful means he'll always do it. He will cleanse us from that sin, forgive us and cleanse us from the unrighteousness, so that we can be clothed in those righteous robes again. He'll clothe us with festal robes. So this is a really important thing to get hold of. Really, really important, because you will never access the realms of heaven if you don't think you're worthy. And the enemy will always tell you you're unworthy. It's his way of working. We need to know the truth. Because then it says this in Zechariah 3:6, the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, the ways of God, according to who he is, knowing him intimately, if you will perform my laws," and that's not talking about the Ten Commandments, it's talking about the principles of God's kingdom, "then you will govern my house. You'll rule." What's the house of God? First of all, what's the house of God? Me. You. Because I'm the habitation of God. He lives in me. So my life is the house of God. So I can start to bring rulership from heaven to earth through my life and around my life as according to God's will and destiny for me. And then I will have charge of the courts. The courts are where all those accusations take place. Courts are also where you get papers, court orders to go and do things. You have authority, mandates given you in that place. You can start operating there. And then I will grant you free access.
Where?
Where was he? Heaven. You've got free access to be standing in the presence of God in the heavenly realm. That is an awesome thing to think. I have free access to stand in the presence of God and those angels and Jesus and all the things that were going on in the heavenly realm. I have access to stand there. Now, this is what the true picture of the heavenly realms are. There are three realms which go down under the earth. Now, don't think of, well, I've got to dig down and find it. It's not actually talking about literally digging down, but it's talking about realms. Spiritual realms or spiritual places where we can access. There are three realms that are down there which Satan rules. They were never intended for Satan to rule, but he does until we dispossess him. Then there's three realms that go up into the kingdom of heaven. There's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and heaven. Satan has no access in heaven, God's abode. He was kicked out of the presence of God. But he can access the other two realms. And then the key place is the place in the middle, the atmosphere of the earth, where there are rulers and powers and principalities. Now, they're not the titles and names of demons. They're the places of authority that we have allowed demons to occupy. Because there are places of authority that we should occupy. Now, in between the atmosphere of the earth and heaven, there's something called everlasting doors. We're singing about it today, about bringing wide the gates of heaven. Those everlasting doors can be opened. They were, in Adam's time before he sinned, a place where God's glory manifested on the earth, in two portals which were open. I've seen those, actually saw them a long time ago and didn't know what they were. But now I've got an understanding of what they were. Literally, it's really important we get those things open. The earth remembers the record of the things before Adam fell. Therefore, there are things called ley lines which operate on the earth. Those are the remnants of the record of these everlasting doors. This is a grid system over the earth of everlasting doors which can be opened. The earth just remembers the record, and even that are places of power. Occult people hook into those places of power. We need to have access to occupy and have those places of power and authority in the heavens to outwork it on the earth. There are other places there, timeline, different things. So literally, in that place, there are places of mountains and thrones, which I've talked about before, which are things which the Bible talks about are places of authority that we need to rule on. In each of those realms, and the mountain and throne of God is literally there in heaven. And therefore, we rule our house, because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So who are the lords that he's Lord of? Us. Who are the kings that he's King of? Us. Because those are things of authority. We're royal priests. Royalty. So we have rights. So we rule in that realm of the kingdom of God. We bring the judgment there in the kingdom of heaven. And we can have access as sons in the presence of God. That is what the real heavenly realms look like. Now, that's just a picture of it. That's like a slice through it, because actually it's a complete sphere around everything. That's just a cut through slice of what it looks like in cross section. There's a whole lot of other things there, and there's other dimensions which I've got time to go into, but maybe one day. Keys. We have to know God intimately ourselves if we're going to rule. You cannot rule unless you know God intimately. You need to know who you are as his son, as his child, as his daughter. You need to know your authority, and it comes from that place of intimacy that he's calling us into. We need to know our identity as kings and priests. That means we've got access to the heavenly realm. We need to live according to kingdom principles. 12 principles of the kingdom of God. I'll do a series of teaching on that in time. We need to rule, therefore, in our sphere, our own house. You need to have authority in your own life and therefore around you. That's your destiny, what you're created to have. You're not created to be a loser and a failure. You're created to succeed. Everyone present in this room is created by God to succeed. That is your destiny. If you fail, it's because you've chosen to do so. Seriously, you can choose to succeed by following these things and entering into those realms where you can rule and change your life. You can have charge over the courts in heaven of your life. You can deal with the accusations of Satan against you in that realm. You can also have authority and mandates to rule in your life and to do and fulfill your destiny in that realm. Every one of you is called to that. Be transformed into a son from glory to glory. God wants to actually display you as his sons on the earth. Sons of light. Now, before you were born again as a Christian, you were a human being. Adam didn't start out a human being. You might be surprised to know. He didn't look like us when he was created. The glory, the light that was on him was on the outside of his body. He didn't have skin. He didn't have blood like we have. But when he sinned and he fell, he became a human being because God created him a living being because the breath of God was breathed into him and he was a living being. If he hadn't have sinned, and he would have followed God, he would have become a son of God. And he would have been a godlike being, a being of light. God wants us all to be beings of light. He wants us all to be demonstrated and manifested on the earth. I'll stop there before I go any further than a rabbit trail, for what I'm going to say. Now, but we can be transformed to shine and do the things that Jesus did. And more, greater things we will do, he said, we believe. So we can be manifested as his sons on the earth and rule and bring this earth back into his intention before Adam fell. That is what is God's will and purpose, to bring the earth back in to the place where before Adam fell and all its purposes there. Each one of you has a scroll of destiny, which means there's written about you, everything that you are going to do in your life and God has called you to. It was agreed and mandated before the foundation of the world. We're going to look at that specifically next time. All of you have at least 7 spheres of dominion and authority and thrones to rule on in your life. Lots of different ones. Some of them it could be family. Some of it could be in the marketplace, your job, your school, your street, your government, all sorts of places where you are called to rule. Some of you, it's in your gift area. It might be prophetic or evangelistic or administration or all the other gifts that there are. For some, it's in the church where your rulership crosses over with the church. You may be into leadership or ministry or part of the fivefold ministry or have youth ministry or kids ministry or other ministries. I say youth and kids because we haven't got kids and youth ministries and I'm calling it prophetically into being in the atmosphere because we want to raise people up. We'll see their gifts brought out in those areas, and if they're not here right now, God will still add them to us. But this is an era of dominion where God is calling you. And you need to know. Some of it, you have callings into the education system, into different systems, where you're called to be a demonstration of God's kingdom, and you're called to have authority and to change it. We are here to change and transform the world in which we live. And every one of you has authority, mandated you before the foundation of the world to do that. Most people just haven't seen that scroll. You can see it. You can read it. It's on the inside of you. And actually, God wants you to see it so you can actually fulfill it. I'm put a load of question marks there because actually there's a load of things that you are called to do that I'm not called to do because you're unique. You're created as a unique person with a destiny to fulfill. Get hold of it. Don't be robbed of it. Because exactly what robs you is familiar spirits. Those of you who are at Ovis when Ian Clayton was here heard him do a teaching on familiar spirits. It's a really powerful teaching, and I'm going to tell you right now, as a church, we're going to go to war against familiar spirits. Because familiar spirits are robbing you of your reality, of your identity to rule. Jeremiah 20:10 says this, "For I have heard many whispering and defaming." It's what familiar spirits do. They whisper. Any of you have little voices in your head? That's what familiar spirits are. They can be on the inside of you or on the outside of you, but what they do is they whisper and they defame. They tell you you're rubbish. They tell you you can't do it. They tell you you're going to be a failure. They tell you you're going to stay in fear for all your life. They tell you you are no good. They lie. There is terror on every side because they make us afraid. Denounce him. That's what they say. Familiar spirits say to you, denounce you. Let us denounce him. Say all my familiars. Probably got at least 5 or 6 or 7 familiar spirits that speak to you regularly, unless you've dealt with them. You need to deal with them. We need to deal with them. Because they are robbing people. They're the little things that you cannot get over, but you need to. But God is giving authority and mandating authority for us to deal with them. And we're going to go to war to see those familiar spirits because they're throne takers. They take your thrones away because they tell you you are unworthy to rule. They're blessing blockers. They block the blessings, the empowerment of God in your life and tell you you will not succeed. They are rest robbers. They stop you from living in the rest of God and they get you to strive and struggle in your own strength. And Jesus said, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. Because those who are weary, they're weary because they're doing it in their own strength. They're carrying burdens which do not belong to them. You do not need to carry burdens because guess what Jesus said? Cast all your burdens onto me because I care for you. You don't have to carry your own burdens. And if you're carrying your own burdens, because you're listening to familiar spirits and they're robbing you and taking the rest from you, they are destiny destroyers. They're out to destroy your destiny because they know if you fulfill your destiny, their days are numbered. You will destroy them, and you will not just destroy them, you will destroy those who are their masters, and you will destroy those who are their masters in the ranks. Because just as the kingdom of heaven has a sphere of influence and different realms, Satan has patterned his kingdom on the same principles. Because where did he get it from? Where does he get anything from? Counterfeits what he's seen in heaven. So he did in the beginning. He counterfeited. He is a liar from the beginning, it says. So we need to deal with these things. What are they? Fear. Biggest one. For all our lives, we're subject to the fear of death, it says in Hebrews. Fear is a major blessing blocker, a major familiar spirit. Rejection. Absolute major one. Because we're all born rejected. Because we're separate from God. And the world just piles it on. Come on, how many of you have not been rejected in your life? Yeah. Well, I thought, not one single hand. Because all of us live in that world where rejection is there. Pride. Pride is the biggest familiar spirit which will stop you in your recovery. For those of you who are at Ovis Farm. And for all of us, it will stop us acknowledging who we are as God's children. And who we are as our destiny. Because pride is not just bigging yourself up. Pride's actually agreeing with what the enemy says about you, which is, well, you're a worm. You're nothing. You'll never make anything. You have to deal with it, and we've got to deal with it. Low self-esteem, value and worth all come from the familiar spirits. They keep you down. They want you to succeed and rise up. They want to keep you down. Insecurity. All that stuff. Rubbish. Doubt, unbelief, anxiety, worry. Strongholds and mindsets and belief systems you carry, familiar spirits use to rob you and to keep you from who you are as a child of God, a and the destiny that you have. Okay, I'm gonna stop actually there. So I'm not actually going to stop what I'm doing right now, because I really want to start to deal with some of these things. God wants to start to deal with some of these things in your life. While we were worshiping this morning, I actually saw a throne, a crown, a golden crown spinning around and around in this room. It's a crown of identity that God wants you to have. He wants you to know your identity as his sons. And the destiny that you have, because the crown also speaks to royalty. Every single person in this room can receive a crown of royal identity. And God wants you to receive it. But if you're suffering from these things, if you get the little whispers and the little familiar things that speak into your mind all the time, they will rob you of your identity. And you will lose your crowns. You can lose them. You can get them back, but guess where your crowns go when you lose them? The trophy room of Satan. Guess where your destinies are if you're not born again and part of the kingdom of God? In the trophy room, he manifests them there before his minions to say, look at all the people's lives that I've got. And we need to get them back. We need to get back everything that belongs to us. Everything that belongs to our family line. There are things that belong to you in your heritage which are in the trophy room of the enemy right now. We're going to go and get them back. We're going to get everything that belongs to your family line which has been robbed in past generations. God is going to restore it in these generations to you. You're going to start getting things back that you didn't even know you lost. Because you didn't lose them. Your great, 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 great grandparents lost something. And Satan stole it and you're going to get it back. Because this is the day when all the mantles and all the things are coming back to God's people. Every person who has a mantle in the kingdom of God and authority, we've lost it because of sin and lost their ministry. Satan is parading it in that trophy room. And I hate it. I'm going to go and get that stuff back. I want to teach people how to go there and get it back, because you need your destiny. You need the stuff that's been robbed from you. And you can't sit there passively and say, well, woe is me. You need to rise up and get some stuff and start moving. You need to rise up and get some authority and power. I'm not joking. It's like you can't sit there and say, well, it's like, I'm not going to let you, because I'm going to preach this stuff until you start to stir. Could you start to get some guts and start to take some authority and power? Because the enemy will try and keep you sat down, squashed, being nothing and nobody, and God wants to rise you up as a king and a priest in the heavenly realms. But where do you want to be? Under the enemy's feet, or do you want him under your feet? So if you want him under your feet, you need to access the realms of heaven. You need to start ruling and authority in your life. And stop listening to the rubbish that's being whispered into your head. Because where does it come from? The lies of the enemy. What God says to you, you have authority to succeed because I've destined you to success. Amen? Tonight, if you want to come tonight, I want to dish out some crowns. I want to deal with any of this stuff that you might have. Because it's like, I'm calling this stuff out and we're going to deal with this stuff and we're going to see it broken over your life. You need to do your own bit. You need to deal with the thoughts. You need to deal with it. You need to punish it. You know, Ian Clayton taught you. If you haven't had Ian Clayton's teaching on it, I'd encourage you to come and see me and get it, because bottom line is, it will change how you think, and then it will change how you act and feel, because you need to be who God's called you to be. And it's time we got raised up as the church and stopped being stamped on and squashed by the enemy. Because God has got a destiny for you that you are going to fulfill if you're willing. So I just want to pray. Father, I pray right now for your power and the authority that you've mandated me, and I exercise that authority, and I challenge the familiar spirits that are operating in this room on every single person who is in the church. I challenge those things and I declare you will not whisper, defame and denounce the people of God. You will come under their feet and you will be crushed. And you'll be sent back to the place that you should come from. And I declare in the name of Jesus a revelation of sonship and authority and power on this your people today. And I pray as you release the crowns of my royal identity, you're going to cause them to rise up, take hold of their destiny and pursue it until it's fulfilled. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare the destiny of God released over these people, for them to get hold of in the heavenly realms, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want some of that stuff, I encourage you to come tonight. It's the last time we're going to do it tonight.